Hello everyone, it's Maggie, Hannah, and Bella. Welcome to the Tea Time Podcast, where we spill the tea on all things feminism. Today we'll be spilling the tea on gender roles through the voices of our special guests who star in the novel Girl, Woman, Other by Bernardine Evaristo. Grab your favorite cup of tea in your listening ears because the tea from our guest is boiling hot. Before we introduce our guests, we'll give you a brief introduction on gender roles. Gender roles are defined as how we are expected to act, speak, dress, and groom, and conduct ourselves based on our assigned sex at birth. A common example of this is how women are expected to act submissive and nurturing, while men are expected to be strong and aggressive. The societal expectations for the ideal gender roles compact everyone's voice, specifically the silencing of individuals who don't fit into these ideal gender roles. We will dive deeper into gender roles today by interviewing characters from Bernardine Evaristo's novel Girl, Woman, Other, a novel following the lives of several British women of all different identities and backgrounds. Welcome, Penelope, and thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
So how have traditional gender roles restricted you, and how have you challenged them in both of your previous relationships?
In my first relationship, I had worked as a teacher before having my son and daughter. When I told my ex-husband Giles that I would like to return to work, he replied that it was impractical to have two masters, a boss at work and a husband. His response to my wish to return to work reflects the social constructs of gender roles and how they silence women's voices. His ideas never aligned with my beliefs and he lacked respect when it came to my goals, which is why our relationship ended.
Wow, I'm sure that was incredibly difficult for you, but I'm glad that you were able to stand your ground and challenge his ideas. If I remember correctly, your second marriage was symbolic in a sense because you worked outside of the home while Philip actually ran his career in the home, right?
Yes, in my second marriage, there was a greater level of respect from my ex-husband Philip. He respected my wishes to return to work and even became involved in my children's lives. Philip won them over by being tactile and affectionate, talking and listening to them, reading to them, and helping them with their homework. I was very relieved and grateful because, unlike Giles, Philip didn't feel pressured by the gender role social constructs have created.
Throughout the novel, I know that I was impressed by the way you handled your relationships, even though they both ended in divorce. It was inspiring that you continued to follow your beliefs. Now, shifting more towards gender roles in the workplace, how were gender roles present and how did you challenge them?
As a teacher, I believe it is important to educate our youth on feminism and the downsides of gender roles because they are our future. It was evident that the ideas of gender roles were present at my school. It was frustrating. Oftentimes, the older boys would be disrespectful, a reflection of their lack of respect toward women, which was charged by social constructs. I also faced disrespect from my male colleagues who only included me in conversations to objectify me, and the other young female teachers. The male teachers always assumed that they were superior just because of their gender. I was the only woman who dared to stand up to the men. I knew that I worked hard to get my job, and so I continuously proved myself to the men who thought I didn't belong.
Thank you, Penelope, for joining us today. Your words are truly inspiring to us and all of our listeners.
Thank you all for having me. I love being able to share my story.
Penelope's interview was really interesting to me because Penelope struggled with gender roles in a different way than Morgan and Bibi. Morgan and Bibi were more on the side of societal expectations in terms of gender identity and the way that you grow up versus like identity. And then Penelope talked a lot about marriage and gender roles within a marriage, which is also societal expectations, but in a different kind of way. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was really interesting when Penelope shared about how her ex-husband, Giles, instilled a lot of societal like expectations upon her, and I think it really spreads awareness about a lot of gender roles that can be harmful but aren't seen by a lot of people, especially men in relationships. I think it's really important for us to recognize that, and I think Penelope did a great job.
I agree. I think that everyone should give Penelope a lot of credit because it's really hard to use your voice to stand up for what you believe in, especially when it's against a male dominance, which in a world has been an issue for so long. So for her, really, that was really impressive for her to use her voice in such a powerful way.
Everyone, welcome welcome Bibi, a transgender woman from a second-generation Indian family. Her family disowned her due to their cultural expectations, which did not support her transition as a woman. Bibi is a very close friend of Morgan and helped introduce them to their gender identity and supported them throughout their journey. Bibi's story is very inspiring, and we are so excited to welcome her onto our podcast today to inform us on her perspective on gender roles as a transgender woman.
Wow, we are so sorry that you experienced that. Have you noticed a difference in how you were treated when you presented yourself as a man versus now a woman?
Yes, I definitely have noticed a huge difference in how I'm treated as a woman versus how I was treated as a man. Once I started presenting as fully female, I realized that I took a lot of things for granted as a man. One thing I miss is being able to go to bars late at night without the constantly feeling self-conscious or being hit on.
Wow, that's very interesting. Do you think your perspective on gender roles, specifically of women, has changed since your transition?
Oh yes, 100%. You see, because of my transition, I got to learn firsthand how women are discriminated against, which is why after my transition, I became a feminist. Now, as a woman, I miss being taken seriously in public. When I still presented as a man, I would always be called sir and addressed respectfully in public. Now I feel my voice is taken way less seriously. Before, I did not notice these harmful gender roles imposed upon women. But now, since I've experienced them myself, I've realized how important it is to speak up against gender roles. I think it is so important to educate people on how badly gender roles can affect a person, especially since as a man I never really acknowledged them, which just shows how much work there is to be done.
Thank you so much, Bibi, for coming in today to share your unique perspective on gender roles. Your experiences are so interesting and really highlight how harmful gender roles are in today's society.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, that was really inspiring how Bibi was able to find her true voice despite all the cultural expectations and hardships she faced through her transition.
I agree. I think it was really interesting that she talked about how, like, growing up a certain way made her have to fall into these kind of social boxes, but her pushing through that and having her own life and her own identity was really inspiring.
Yeah, I also agree with that. I also thought it was so interesting how Bibi said that she's seen so many differences in how she's treated as a person from when she presented to the world as a man versus now as a woman. I thought that also just really shows how harmful gender roles can be in our society and how a lot of times they can go unnoticed, especially by those who aren't facing them personally.
Everyone give a warm welcome to Morgan, who will be joining in on this podcast today to share their life journey. Thank you for joining us today, Morgan. Let's start with an introduction and a little bit about you.
Morgan grew up in the UK in a middle-class family. From a very young age, they felt their body and outside appearance did not match the way they felt on the inside. Morgan felt silenced. They could not freely express how they felt uncomfortable in their body to their family or friends because in this society, it was not normalized or accepted.
Through their life, they faced adversity and many obstacles, but ultimately are now thriving in their life. Now going by Morgan and identifying with they-them pronouns.
So, Morgan, growing up, your parents told you that you had to dress like a girl. How did you feel every day waking up knowing that there was going to be yet another argument about how the way you dressed with your parents?
My parents have always said, "You've got to dress like a girl, Megan. You can't go around looking like that." It was always so frustrating because no one understood how I felt. Wearing dresses and looking pretty wasn't me. It's not who I am. But I couldn't openly express this to my family because they couldn't understand the concept that I am biologically a girl but wanted to dress gender neutral.
Morgan, at what point in your life did you realize your body did not match the real you?
From a very young age, I knew I was not going to be a woman, or at least not a woman in the way other people understood it. Wearing the clothes my parents forced onto me, I felt like an imposter. I knew it wasn't a normal feeling to feel.
So, Morgan, do you have any advice for any individuals who feel forced to follow certain gender roles in society, or any people who are feeling uncomfortable in their body or their gender identity?
This is a message for everyone. Do not be afraid to be yourself. The external pressure of living in a society where not identifying as a traditional gender role is really difficult, but living your life behind a mask, feeling like an imposter, is draining. I spent half of my life living a lie, and now identifying as Morgan, they, them, I have never felt more free and love my life more.
So, what did you guys think about Morgan's story?
Well, personally, I thought it was so moving how Morgan's story really showed how strict gender roles can diminish one's identity and also silence their voice.
I agree. I also thought it was really interesting how Morgan was able to find their true voice despite all the adversity they face in their life.
Now that we finished our interviews, BB's interview really reminded me about how growing up with certain standards enforces actions and represses an individual's agency. And I saw this through growing up with a younger brother, always dressing more feminine, doing feminine sports like gymnastics and dance when my brother played soccer. And I noticed that on the UMKC Women's Center website, they talked about how pink is always a girl's color and boys have blue as their color as babies. And these colors assign how a kid is supposed to grow up and enforces roles that babies are meant to grow and fit into. And the idea that there are only two genders also and colors also enforces the idea that there are only two genders, which forces people to conform to the idea that they can only be a boy or a girl and they have to fit certain standards based on their gender.
Yeah, I grew up doing dance and also always wearing pink. My brother would wear blue, and he would be in sports like soccer too, actually. And it also, I feel like for me, enforced the stereotype that I only could do feminine things like dance. Also just at school, like boys would think it was weird if girls like were fast in gym class or really enjoyed soccer or baseball. And also with like that, I feel like it's also seen weird when girls decide to do a masculine activity like soccer or football. But then when guys do like a more feminine activity like dance or gymnastics, they're praised and seen like they're almost like breaking a stereotype and doing something really cool, which I think is really interesting how when guys do something, it's seen cool, but when girls do something that's considered masculine, it's seen really weird.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I feel like I see that every day growing up playing soccer. The boys' teams are always seen as bigger, stronger, faster, and better than the girls' teams. And as an article states that youth soccer gender stereotypes are influenced by broader societal norms, leading to the perception that soccer is predominantly a male activity. And I definitely see this every day because although soccer is a sport for both girls and guys, I feel like the guys' teams are always favored and they're always seen as better, even though two teams could be on the same level. The boys is just always seen as the better in every situation. And I feel like Penelope's interview really stood out to me because like Penelope, my mom is a teacher and my dad is a lobbyist. And although they have the traditional like gender role jobs, my parents at home both split all the domestic work and do everything together. So I feel like her story really stood out to me.
Yeah, I agree. My dad is also a doctor like Philip. And when people find out that he works in healthcare, they always assume that he's a doctor because that's a more male-dominated field. And it's kind of nice to see how that's switching right now, where women are becoming more doctors.
That's so interesting because my mom's a doctor, but when I tell people she's in healthcare or literally tell them that she's a doctor, they always assume she's a nurse, which is seen as like a more feminine field, which I think is so interesting how like guys are always like seen as doctors when girls are immediately seen as nurses.
Okay, just to sum up this Tea Time podcast episode where we spill the tea on all things feminism, today we focus on gender roles through the voices of our special guests, BB, Morgan, and Penelope, and hearing their own experiences combating gender roles, it really brought to light how everyone faces challenges and adversity of gender roles in their own way.
Yeah, I really thought our conversation today underscored how social and cultural expectations can really influence one's voice, and I think our interviews with our characters and also our own experiences with this really brought to light.
Yeah, I also wanted to say that we focus a lot about the social constructs of gender roles, and we used the question, the essential question, to what extent do these constructs influence voice? And that reveals while progress has been made in challenging traditional gender roles, the influence of these constructs is still deeply embedded in our systems. And this shapes how people communicate, who gets listened to, and whose voices are marginalized. We need to recognize and question these influences because it's crucial in working towards a more equitable society where everyone's voice is given the space and respect that it deserves.